Welcome to an episode of Crippled by Culture, where we talk about everything in life and related to the disabled and chronically ill community. My name is Sean Gold, and I am author, advocate, and nonverbal public speaker for the disability community. To provide a quick visual description for accessibility, I am a Black man with a white tracheostomy breathing tube in my neck. I am wearing a blue shirt. The person off camera is who you hear speaking for me. This video is of a Zoom call with me and the person talking for me off camera, and my guest is in the other box next to it. Today, I would like to thank Jonathan Moore for being my voice in this episode. In this episode, we are talking about the intersections of disability and advocating through literacy.
Before we get any further into the interview, I want to give a shout out to our partnering nonprofit festival for the series, Festability. As the media director, I help organize a wonderful event in St. Louis at the Missouri History Museum. We have so many activities and vendors set up all over with an amazing headliner for our main stage each year. It is the best event in St. Louis to celebrate your disability unapologetically while celebrating the Americans with Disabilities Act. Make sure you come out if you're nearby. Check out the link in the description to learn more. Thank you, Festability, for sponsoring the series. Now, back to the show.
Now let's get to today's amazing guest. Thalia L. Flores is a 27-year-old who was born with spastic cerebral palsy. Despite her condition that affects her mobility, she does not allow it to affect her will and determination to make a difference in the world. Through her many life challenges and obstacles, she discovered her passion for writing. Thalia's goal in life is to share her stories with the world. In doing so, she hopes to help others with disabilities realize that they too have the potential to make their dreams come true. Previously, Thalia was nominated to Diversability's list of the most influential disability impacts of 2022. Thalia is not only an author, she's a radio show personality and disability activist. Thalia, thank you for being here today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm doing wonderful, just stomping on CP and sharing my story through literacy and spreading representation for cerebral palsy through literacy, and I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. Well, a pleasure to have you. Would you mind just giving a visual description of yourself, please?
So I'm an Afro-Latina, I'm caramel skin, I'm wearing a gray shirt, and I have a white background of an illustration of myself with my name in bold letters, Thalia Flores, and on the bottom I have cursive writing in green that says stomping on cerebral palsy.
Right, I like that, stomping on cerebral palsy. I appreciate that, Thalia.
Thank you.
First, do you identify with having a disability or chronic illness? And if so, do you mind sharing what disabilities or chronic illnesses you have?
Well, I have, let's see, it's a long list. It's like the song that never ends. I have spastic dysplasia, which is a form of cerebral palsy, and I have ADHD, and I have hip dislocation, which classifies as chronic illness.
How does these disabilities affect your everyday life?
Well, the way I see it is it's like it's constantly a party in my brain. I have an annoying tenant in my brain, and he's been living here for the past 28 years. His name is Cerebral, and he never moves out, so I can never miss him. And he's just always constantly causing pain on my left side, and he has a girlfriend. Her name is Spasm, and she's always trying to yank him along, but it just never fails. And then ADHD is like me having a squirrel in my brain.
I love your descriptions, Dad. I really do. So I know you were born with cerebral palsy. With your other diagnoses, how old were you when you got diagnosed?
Well, with ADHD, I was officially diagnosed from when I was younger, but my parents didn't tell me that I had ADHD. I actually didn't really find out that I had ADHD till I was 23 years old. And I was going through severe depression because my parents didn't want me to like worry, but they always knew I had it because they already thought, well, you're already dealing with the stigmas of one, and we don't want to overstress you with the ADHD part. But I always felt like I had ADHD because I was a child in school that was an overachiever and a perfectionist. But my issue was I would get easily distracted.
Okay. Do you feel like there may be some other things that are going on that you feel are like undiagnosed?
Not really. I mean, I'm pretty equipped to my current diagnosis of what I have. I mean, it's just taking it day by day, and I'm proud of my diagnosis, and I'm not mad at my parents for not telling me about the diagnosis because it was a beautiful discovery. It was a
Awesome.
beautiful journey, and I'm thankful for it.
Okay. So you didn't kind of get frustrated or upset with them keeping that from you.
No, absolutely not. Because now I could put two and two together, and I could appreciate all the times that I didn't understand my ADHD.
Awesome. Thalia, did you ever have to go through your own internalized ableism?
Oh yes, for sure, totally. And I'm so glad you mentioned that because a lot of the times people have forgotten that internalized ableism did happen to them because we lived in a society where internalized ableism was the right thing that was taught. But of course, but for a while, I hated being called disabled. And when I was a teenager and when I first got published, I told myself I was not going to be the author that wrote about disability because that's what they would expect from me. And that's why my first book was James Ticking Time Bomb, you know? But then as I got older and I found my passion for writing through grief, I was able to realize, well, I could use this to talk about CP now, and I feel confident in myself and I'm proud of the journey. So finding my passion for writing because I lost my best friend due to cancer led me to gaining confidence in my disability. It was all just, I just needed a tragedy to get through to where I am today.
So tragedy kind of led you to your journey to inner acceptance.
Yes.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. Awesome. So, what would you say about writing, and what would you say about writing? Because this is why, I refuse to do my own autobiography. What would you say about writing that is, so just liberating, so empowering.
I think the fact that with writing, you're able to represent everybody and you're able to spread your message and give the outreach of you are not alone in this society. There's people that are just like you, even if it's a nonfiction book that I'm working on, or a fictional book, or a fantasy book, or a romance book, there's always representation that could help somebody cope with that same situation. And that was another reason because I would go to the library and get books from school or books from the library, and you would see no Afro-Latina on the cover of a book that had cerebral palsy. That was a fictional character, and that was the inspiration for my bet the book that made me a bestseller, Amelia's Way, this past year. So
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
With that's my motivation to be the representation that I didn't have growing up. Yeah, I had
Yeah.
the house on Mango Street, but the author of that was Mexican. She wasn't Puerto Rican. She wasn't African American. So it was like I got one perspective, but I didn't get the other.
Okay. I got you. I got you. Well, I tell you what you said about writing earlier is the reason why I refuse to do my own autobiography. I just can't do it. Can't bring myself to do it. But
Yes,
yeah.
and I just want to say that's a very difficult journey. Like, I published my autobiography at 25, and I did it with the wrong company, and they gave the book an ableist name, and I'm just gonna say it. And I'm working on fixing it now as we speak, but they gave it the name Handy Capable. And when I saw it, it was already published, and there was nothing I could do about it. And I was very upset.
Wow.
And
Wow.
I made it very clear. They asked me, "Oh, well, we see that you're representing by this company. Would you like to come back to us and do a continuation?" I said, "Absolutely not, because Handy Capable is not the way I want people to see me. I want people to see me as a proud, fierce, disabled Latina woman, Afro-Latina, and I'm not afraid to say it."
They didn't let you approve that shit.
No, they didn't let me approve that. No, so by the time when the book, by the time I saw the title, the book was already published. And when I saw the name, I said, "I don't know if I could curse on this podcast. I don't know. Can I curse?"
I
And
just did.
okay. So when I saw the name, I said, "Fucking God shit. They did not just do this to me." And it was at that moment I learned that not all publicists understand an author with a disability struggle.
And
So now
man.
I'm publishing through KP, and I have a better team there that does things the right way, because I want to make sure that every disabled person knows that it's okay to be disabled. It's okay to express yourself as disabled. But I would want people to know that people that aren't okay with it are allowed to go through that journey of self-discovery and realize that they're internalizing ableism, because we all did it. Because that's the world we were adapted to, like the word special needs. I don't like the word now, but I did back then, because that's what we were taught was okay. So you really can't get mad at those people. Because everybody has their own journey, everybody. But at some point, you either have to accept it, because you can't continue to live your life through internalized ableism, especially the way the world is today. Like, I always tell people going through that journey, because I'm also a mental health care counselor for those with disabilities online, and I mostly deal with the adults and the parents. And I tell the parents, let them go through it. Let them learn to appreciate the word disabled. The issue is, the reason why we didn't get a chance to appreciate it is because we didn't have those talks in history class about Judy Heumann and Jim LaBrecque, or Brett Lambert, the Black Panther. We didn't have those conversations. Even Harriet Tubman, she was disabled. She had a brain injury. Look at Emmett Till. He had a stutter. But nobody talks about it in Black. Nobody talks about it. And that's where I'm like, why are we erasing disability outside of history books? The 504 sit-down plan should be in like the second page of this 1970s history books. Judy Heumann's picture should be all over cafeteria schools, starting from elementary when they do Women's History Month. And like, alongside with all the Black figures, there's so many great Black activists out there with disabilities. Like, I was so upset when the Super Bowl this year didn't show the sign language people. They only showed them for a second. They didn't show them on TV. I was so mad. I was like, where's the representation at? Just because you showed them for a second doesn't give us the proper representation. Wake up, America. Realize that we have a problem. Like a few months ago, I was at the celebration for the Rehabilitation Act via Zoom, the 50th anniversary. And they were like, isn't this great that we get to celebrate 50 years? And they're listing all the problems that we still have to deal with. 50 years later, and they're talking about, oh, we're still updating the systems. I'm like, this isn't a celebration. This isn't a time to be celebrating and cutting a cake. This is a time for us to be advocating.
I love it. I love it. It's just speaking on Black history, they still don't have the conversations in class, not even in fucking college.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Like, I took a whole course in disability and diversity through the University of Cape Coral, and I had to sit there and talk to children of color that live in Africa that they can't go to school because they don't have accessible buses. They don't have anything. But they asked me, is it the same way in America? No, but the people of color, we get stereotyped, especially when we're disabled. Look, I'm supposed to be a statistic right now. I'm supposed to be a failure in life because my mom is Latina. She's Puerto Rican. My family migrated here. She had me when she was 16 years old, and then she had me from an African man that matched the stereotype of deadbeat. And he didn't grow up in a good upbringing either. So I'm supposed to be a failure. Statistically, I'm supposed to be a failure, but I'm not. And when people say, oh, you're Latina and you're colored, we're gonna put you in this category because you're disabled. And it's mostly the government because they're like, oh, well, we could give you housing, but we're not gonna put you on a in a nice house because you're disabled and you're colored. And I'm not trying to make this a race thing, but it is. But now I'm starting to notice that the Caucasian people with disabilities are having the same thing. So they all want to trap us in this cycle.
Well, why are we talking about, the government and trapping us in, into cycles? What made you want to start being an advocate for our community? Did someone suggest it to you, or did you just decide to pursue it on your own?
I'll tell you the story. So back when I was 18, I decided to reconnect with my deadbeat biological father. And I'm going to tell you why I'm calling this man a deadbeat, even though he's probably going to listen to my interviews. I'll tell you all of the story. Well, I was 18 years old. It was my birthday, and he texts me, "Happy birthday. I think there's something you should know. The reason why your legs are broken is because your mom dropped you on the floor, and that's why you're retarded. Happy birthday." So at that point, I said, no, I got to get into disability activism. I got to start speaking about CP because if he thought that stupid, ignorant thought was the reason why I got diagnosed, then there's a problem. There's a problem in America. And but get this, recently I reconnected with my biological aunt, which is his sister, and she apologized to me, but turns out years after I was born, he had another child with cerebral palsy that he abandoned also. But that the boy winded up dying. So
Man.
that's why I call him what I call him. But I thank him for opening that door for me to want to be an activist because, like I said before, I wasn't planning on advocating because that's what I thought people would accept from me. Like, that's what I like. People would have thought, oh, that's obvious that she's doing that, but because she's disabled, I didn't want to be that way because at the time when I got published at 16, I was still struggling with disability and acceptance. And by the time I was 18, which I just released those books a couple weeks ago in a series because I had issues with the publishing company, I was able to write and talk about my disability and not be so shameful anymore.
So what is your favorite part about advocating versus your least favorite or most frustrated part of it?
I think my favorite part about advocating, because whether I'm writing or I'm a mental health counselor, I'm still advocating, or whether I'm doing radio, I'm still advocating. I think my most favorite part is being able to give people that voice and that representation that they needed to survive this world, because we live in a world where you weren't given a manual with CP and the world's just full of fucking ableism, man. Let me just tell you the wheelchair, the fact that the wheelchair, it makes it so much harder, the diagnosis, going to all the doctor's appointments, everything is just, it just makes it so complex. So in order for me to be able to do that for people that are older and younger than me, that's like the best feeling in the world.
Awesome. So you just mentioned about being a radio show personality. Can you tell us a little bit about your show, Stomping on Cerebral Palsy? What's it like?
Okay, so basically, which we're working on a relaunch right now as we speak. So basically, it's a show where I give life lessons about cerebral palsy and I play songs that match the lesson of that segment. And it's just a really good time. Like, right now we're on hiatus because we're doing a revamp right now, but you could go listen to prior episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can listen to podcasts, and it's a great show. It's a great segment, so I would recommend it. I'm not trying to be biased here.
What made you want to do it?
Well, what made me want to do it was the same way as I wanted to write about disability. I wanted to break the stigmas in radio about disability, because a lot of the times radio stations will turn you away because you have a disability, or they think, oh, well, she's not equipped to bring an audience because she has a disability. There's no room for disabled radio show personalities in the community. And I just wanted to stomp on it and tell them that there is room and I'm here. So guess what? You're gonna have to listen to me. And I didn't want to be like the Breakfast Club. I didn't want to be like the Wendy Williams. I didn't want to be like I didn't want to be like Wendy Williams or the Breakfast Club or Hot 96, for those of you that are from New York that spread the gossip. I wanted to spread positivity.
That's good. That's good. See, I'm younger than you by a few years, but I never saw anybody who had my disability on TV until I was 15 years old.
Oh yeah, Degrassi was my first time, Drake.
I feel like that's dangerous. We need more representation out there, authentic representation out there.
Yes, and of all different cultures, not just Black, not just Latina, Asian, Chinese, because we all go through the same battle. We just have different perspectives.
Mine was speechless,
Yes.
being speechless.
Oh yeah, that was a good show. And then ABC cut it too short after 3 seasons. I was like, why would they do that? Right when JJ's going off to college, wouldn't they think that people needed to see how difficult that transition would be?
Yep, that would have been awesome.
I actually wrote to ABC and I did press for the Mighty on the very last episode because they asked me to do it, but we didn't know that it was going to be the last episode. But I was already looking forward to seeing how they would make JJ go off to college, and I feel like we were robbed of that. Even people who didn't know about cerebral palsy, it was like, okay, we're ending it right here, to be continued. And I hope they bring it back and they pitch it to another network and they continue the story or write it in a book format. So we know. Like, I've been waiting to find out what happened to JJ for like 6 years now, almost five. It's like, Come on. Like, the first real good representation I saw of cerebral palsy was Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad, that was my show. And now my show is Longstar 911 because they have a little girl with cerebral palsy, and Chicago Med featured Discovering Dallas. Like, she's an Instagram model and she's adorable, but I watched the show because of her. And like, now there's so many representation now that it's great. But the best representation I saw for cerebral palsy was Breaking Bad, and that's mild.
And I haven't watched it yet, but did you like Special?
Oh yeah, I loved Special. I just thought it was cut too short. I don't know if any of the writers of the show, producers, creator, come pitch it to another network. I mean, we've had to deal with the Conners for five seasons, and that show's already dead without Roseanne. And not to bring controversy, but I loved Roseanne. I watched the whole series. I thought that show was a gold mine. But then they should have just canceled her show when she got off, because the show is dead. Like, yeah, no, it's dead. And like, they could have put like Speechless back on, gave it more of a see more of a life, and they just didn't. And I'm just so mad because now we gotta watch shows like Young Sheldon and all these other shows, and The Good Doctor's ending too. Man, you brought my anger out at these networks. I'm so sad The Good Doctor's ending right when he just had a baby.
Yeah, man, they
And
keep cutting this short.
no, and A Million Little Things had great representation of a paraplegic, and then they ended it after five seasons. I'm like, come on, networks. And then you want to keep Chicago Fire on the air for years and years when the storyline's already stale. I could tell you what's gonna happen.
Was the baby disabled?
On
Was that
what good doctor?
the
No.
good doctor?
No, I it was the doctor that was disabled. He had autism.
Let's talk about how do you use your platform for your advocacy career?
Well, how do I use my platform of stomping on CP? Well, once a month, I come out with a blog on my website, www.tyliaflores.com, where I blog and reflect on my disability. Or when it comes to my books, I write all genres about characters and different things that I went through with my disability. And social media, although I've been on it less because the disability community could be a toxic community because we're all at each other's throats because we have different perspectives. I use social media to spread the positive side of disability, and sometimes I could be raw with my truth too. So that's what I use it for. I use it to spread awareness.
Awesome. So you also advocate specifically for people like me, and you have cerebral palsy. So tell me about that. Does that empower you in your identity?
In a way it does, and in a way it doesn't, because I want people to know that outside of stomping on TP, I am just a regular person that has dislikes outside of advocacy. Like, when I'm not advocating, I'm usually playing video games, or I'm usually thinking of new ways to make things more adaptable, writing to wheelchair companies to like fix the wheelchairs and things like that and make places more accessible. Or I'm just binge watching television shows on Netflix and just trying to see if I can find a good show that represents disability. So in a way, like, even when I'm not thinking about disability, there's always something that crosses my mind.
Do you
Like,
play The Sims?
oh, I love The Sims as a kid. It helped me a lot through my ears. And now they have the Sims with the hearing aid and
Mm.
the Allegro
Yeah.
and the colostomy bags. And I'm like, yes, but what about the wheelchairs, man?
Right.
But I wonder how the Sims in the wheelchairs would woohoo. Like, they would have to get like people with disabilities to come help them, and I would be more than happy to do it. I've actually been writing Sims for years. I've been a Simmer since 2007.
Yeah, they don't they don't do that shit, so that's why they don't, put it out there. That's,
No,
you know.
but I knew somebody directly, like my mentor, Chef David, may he rest in peace. Before he died, he knew the people at A&E, and he was supposed to get me in contact with them, but he passed away. So of brain cancer, I believe. Yeah, it was brain cancer. So for years, like, they had been back and forth with A&E, because I was like, I want a disabled sim. Like, why is it everybody in that world is able-bodied? Like, no, like, I want Sims in wheelchairs and to have different disabilities and to have babies be diagnosed. So like, let's say a Sims, like, let's just say, like, it could be a random thing and a special, what's that? The baby stock comes and be like, your child was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, but it's not your fault, or your Sims child was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, but it wasn't your fault. It's just the store thought you needed something special in your life, especially if the Sims life was just too easy. Like, make it a game challenge and teach people lessons.
Right, yeah. Right now it's just like the decor for them. That's all it is just a decoration.
But honestly, I'm waiting for the game Paradise to come out, because that looks way better than Sims. And I wrote to them, and I was like, I hope you imply Paradise characters with disabilities.
Yeah. I feel like the Sims community got too soft, too triggered,
Yeah, they are. And when I mentioned it, they were like, oh, well, we don't want it to be too sensitive, but yet you're like, I have no problems with like the new stuff that the Sims are putting on today. I feel like everybody should be represented in every video game and every book and every television show, but I've noticed there's a disconnect between one community being represented versus the other. And it's like, we have all this rep, and I'm not saying nothing against LGBT. I love my community, they're awesome. I love my people. Like, show your pride, baby. You were born this way. But it should be the same way it is for Disability Pride Month, the same way it is for Pride Month, and how all these video games have a character of each identity or each sexuality. It should be the same for disability. Why is it that only one television network in July mentioned Disability Pride Month, and it was Disney Channel? And it so happens that I was watching Bluey with my dog, because my service dog loves that show when he's not working. And they were like, it's Disability Pride Month. And I just started crying, because I was like, finally. And people were like, why are you crying? I'm like, you didn't see the commercial? You didn't see that they mentioned Disability Pride Month? Like, let me have my prideful moment. And even for Thanksgiving with the man, even for Thanksgiving with the Thanksgiving Day parade, they had a commercial of a nonverbal boy using a communication box. And I don't know if you saw this, but he was exploring the world with his brother and he was drawing it, and I just cried. I was like, this is the best year ever. I'm so thankful for this commercial. This is
You gotta send me that commercial.
The thing is, I don't remember the name. Or there was the one year where the Xbox Kinect came out and they had the boy with cerebral palsy, and he's playing on the Xbox Kinect with his friends, and I have Xbox. I'm an Xbox gaming chick, and I'm gonna put my Xbox name in here just in case everybody wants to play Walking Dead with me, because that is my shit. So it's└ Census book 28. Add me on there, y'all. I want to get back into video gaming. I used to play Madden. I used to play Madden, Sims, Ghost Recon, Halo, all of that.
Wow. With the gang, you said paradise. Was it paralyzed? Is
Yeah,
it
it's paralyzed. I'm sorry.
paralyzed? Gotcha. Listen, what do you think are the main misconceptions about your disability?
Oh, we'll be here till the year 2025 if I at least all of them. Oh, that once we turn 20, the fairy godmother comes out and you're cured. And it's like, no, we're not cured after 21. We have to live with this forever. So where's the resources?
That's heavy right there. That is.
Like, I wish Whitney Houston and Brandy would come down. Who played the Black Godmother in the Black Cinderella? Whitney Houston? Yeah, it was Whitney Houston. Lord have mercy.
In your bio, you also put that you are fully certified in education for all disability, diversity, and inclusion. Tell me what that means to you to have that certification.
Oh, it means great wonders for me because not only am I able to help teachers and educators understand, I could be the representation for the student that they need. Because once a student sees, oh, this person had the same disability as me and she sat at the same desk as me, that's powerful.
So have you applied the knowledge that you've gained from that
Oh,
certification in
yeah.
advocacy and speaking?
Yes, I've been able to go to certain schools. Actually, my middle school, which was a huge honor, invited me to speak to the kids in 2020. I've been able to speak for a college in Oklahoma. I've done plenty more of that, and I've been able to offer my education. I also been able to offer my help to parents that may have needed resources for their kids. But let me tell you, some of these teachers and the IEPs, oh my goodness. IEP meetings are always fun because you get to see the craziness that they say and what the school system does to get that child on a special diploma, although they're more than capable of doing a regular diploma, but the school wants to keep you in for more funding. And it's sad because the education system in America for those with disabilities, as soon as they see you in a wheelchair, they want to slam you with that special diploma. They want to say, oh, you have to be in school till you're 21, and then the services end, and you'll just be another statistic. That was not going to be me. I was determined to fight for my diploma because you know what? If I'm doing the same work as everybody else and I'm able to comprehend it, I deserve my diploma. And well and behold, with the help of my mother homeschooling me through 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, I was able to get it. And guess what we did the week after I graduated from school? I went back to the public school that made my life a living H double hockey stick, gave him a copy of my book and my diploma, and said, thank you for not believing in me, Plantation High. Take that. And I don't care. I'll say the name now because they all follow me on Facebook. So hi to everyone that didn't believe in me. Hi, Miss Horton. You said I was an X-show kid. Hi, Miss Dottie. You said I was a retard. Hi, Mr. Scott. You said I would never amount to anything. Hi, Miss Bartoletti. You were mad when we called you out on that psychologist test when you said I had short-term and long-term memory loss. Didn't you? Hi, Miss Coffee. You were the psychiatrist that tested me for 5 hours with your nonsense. So, hi to all of you since you and I hope you keep this in here. I want you to.
I will.
So, Shout
So I
out
would
to you.
benefit from that certification. I wanted to speak out that I will benefit from that.
Yes. It's a really good program. I took it through Future Learn and it 4 years, no, 5 years ago, because 2019 was 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago. It was a great experience. I got to learn and I got to connect with so many great people.
Well, hey, be sure to send me the information on that so I
Oh,
could look into that.
I will, because it was a great program. And the courses work at your own pace. And if you wanted to take that certificate anywhere, you could.
So now that you've studied diversity in that way, what ways do people often get wrong in disability when it comes to diversity?
Oh, that everybody with a disability is going to get along. So they just stick us in a bubble based on their appearance. And, honestly, even the Special Olympics does this. And even events that are made for disabled people, they do this too. And that's why I stopped supporting those types of events. Because not everybody with a disability is going to get along just because we have the same diagnosis. We're all different. We're like Chex Mix.
Say all mixed up there.
Yeah. But of
About
course,
this.
it's the stigmatism of, oh yeah, they're disabled, they may like each other. No, there's some people in the cerebral palsy community that are females that I just can't stand and they don't like me. It's just the reality of life. Like, that's what we need to start filming. That's what we need to start talking about. But they don't. That's like, and another good show that represented that was Born This Way, but they cut it short too.
Born This Way.
On A&E.
Okay.
The only disabled show that I don't like is Love on the Spectrum because they match the people with like people like them instead of matching them with inner able people, because there's some good inner able people that would accept you for who you are on a date, or if they have a love interest in you, your disability is the second option to them.
Going back to the certification, does it cost anything? Just wanted to know.
I think 50 at the time it was $50 for me, so I don't know about
Okay.
now because I haven't checked into it in so long, but yeah, that's just what I've been up to for the past 10 years.
And I was gonna start that show, Love on the Spectrum. Should I not do
I
it?
mean, you should because I don't want to deter you from your own perspective, but I was annoyed that it's like, why don't they put them together with able-bodied people and show that inter-able relationships could work? I mean, look at Cult and Charisma and what is it? Grubs, I forget their names, but they have a good show. Scrummy and Grubs, is it? Am I seeing right? And they have the cute little dog, and they have a theme song that goes, "Hello, hello, welcome to the show. It's time to talk about our lives." His wife's name is Hannah and Shane. Yeah, those were two. Yeah, but like they need to showcase those more. And I'm surprised Colt and Charisma and Shane and Hannah don't have a television show because, but then again, reality TV isn't reality TV anymore. It's scripted drama nonsense, and they want to make you look like you don't have no sense. So I don't blame them there. That's why I like a couple years ago I was offered to do a show on MTV, and I said no. Because they the produ this is what they do. The producers, they want to come in there and they want to script drama. And my life is just not drama. It's just not. Like, there's moments where I'm like, okay, but like I don't want that all aired, like I want the truth aired. My life, I'm a 20 I'm in my 20s, and I have cerebral palsy, but it doesn't stop me. But I haven't found the right company to film the show that I want to film it, because I don't want exaggeration. I don't want things edited out. I want the freaking truth.
And
I don't care.
I want to get those couples you were talking about on here. Do you watch the Clements?
Oh yeah, they're a good couple too. Like I watch them all, and that's the thing. And a lot of the times it's just like, okay, people say, oh my God, like yeah, they're so lucky. They have a disability, they found somebody, but it's like we're just regular people just like them. So
So I'll go ahead, Tyler.
no, I forgot what I was gonna say.
So what our audience doesn't know, but Thalia has also been involved in many movie press releases for Samuel Goldwyn films like Come As You Are, Piece of Me, which was the short film directed and written by award-winning filmmaker Bruno Cabral. As well as the film adaptation of the book Calvin Can't Fly by Jennifer Burns. What was this like? What was that like?
Okay, so Come As You Are was my first experience, and let me just say right off the bat, because I know that movie was deemed ableist because they didn't have disabled actors, but at the time I didn't know that, and it was like launching in America. So I got to watch the movie, and from what I saw, they represented us great, even though they weren't disabled. But I kind of understood why it was deemed ableist in Hollywood, because lack of representation, you know what I'm saying? But that was my first movie experience, and I have no regrets. Piece of Me could have been better, but no regrets. Calvin, great book. I actually connected with the author, and she bought my second children's book, Larry the Differently Abled Bear. That was turned to an audio a few months ago, so I was honored about that. But like every time I did film press or yeah, it's been an honor. My favorite one that I did was with Scene TV 2 years ago, where I talk about disability and sex, because that was a film that was needed. Although I'm no longer with the person in the video that I did it with at the time, I still think it's relevant, and I still think it's one of the best films that I've ever been a part of, because like Scene TV is like huge, and for them to like ask me to do a film on such an important topic, because not everybody talks about sex and disability, not everybody talks about dating and disability, and we need to stop making it taboo. And that's why like I write exotic books, I write romantic books, and yes, every single one of my romance books has the disabled character doing the reverse cowboy or doing the 69, okay? Like in their wheelchairs or having the wheelchair tilt back and they're fucking.
Keeping it real, keeping
Yeah,
it real.
keeping it real, because we get horny too, okay? Like we yeah, like it's normal, not at a young age, but by the time you're 18 and you get your first bite of the first love, the first mosquito bite, that's when you start to experience all real things. And the reason why I talk about that so bluntly, especially in my like favorite romance novel, my newest book, Finding the Beauty in the Unseen, is because I want people to see that yes, people with disabilities are adults. Yes, they fall in love and then they fuck. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, people are like, one lady was like, yeah, I got this book for my daughter, and it was terrible that you would put. I'm like, ma'am, how old's your daughter? 27, but we don't allow her to see that, although she could talk and she's just like you. I said, then you're the problem, like, because you're sheltering your child. Like, it's bound to happen. Like, I could guarantee you she gets horny. Like, you need to let her release it. Like,
Why did you use the title differently able?
Oh, that was another mistake by the pub that by the same publisher, and we just couldn't fix it. So,
Roll with it.
yeah,
Gotcha.
roll
Gotcha.
with it. But it's the story of the bear named Larry that he can he could. The reason why it's called differently abled was because he couldn't find his roar. Like he has a disability of not being able to roar until one day he goes to the lake and he falls into the water and he finds his roar. So it's like a self-discovery children's book, but I didn't want to make my second children's book in the form of like obvious disability about a kid. So I was like, what if I take my favorite animal, which is a bear, thanks to the show Bear in the Big Blue House that I watched on Playhouse Disney when I was a kid, and I make a disabled story out of it, and there you go.
Awesome. Awesome. What, how does it feel to have pieces of your articles on websites like Yahoo and Life the Mighty and countless others? How does that feel?
It's honestly, when I publish an article, I think nothing of it. I just think of it as another article. But like when I get an email from a parent or a kid that's like, I found your article on Yahoo, that's when I give myself praise. Like, you're in your 20s and you've done this. You should be proud of yourself. Why did you beat yourself up today? That's like the day I found out that I was a best-selling author on Amazon. I was just having a bad day, disability grief. I had an a accident in the morning with the bathroom before, so I was just dealing with the whole disability grief. And then my friends like calling me like, "Hey, congratulations, you're a bestseller." I'm like, "Let me get my computer." And when I saw that orange banner, I was like, oh my God. Like, I did it after 10 plus years. Like, that it was amazing. And then I also felt like proud of the readers. And I do this for them. I don't do this for me. Like, when I write a book, I do this for the reader. Like, how could they connect? Like, that's like a book that I'm working on releasing now. I wrote when I was 18, and it's about a 16-year-old boy that falls in love with his girlfriend, but then at the end of it, since he's like not allowed to see her anymore, he commits suicide. And that was like inspired by what I went through in my first breakup at 23 years old, where I became suicidal because of that. And that's when I came to terms with the fact that I'll be stuck in this body forever, and the medical system's so fucked up. And like I was, and my friends were gone, and me being with the person that I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with, because we were talking about getting married and having a future, and that was my first love. So when he left me, that put me in a deep, 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 deep depression for 6 years.
Wow. Well, man, when we talking about the Amazon bestseller, you definitely deserve that, man. But it's amazing how that kind of, picked you up and brought you out from a low place there. Was
Thanks.
how did you come out of that depression?
Well, with the help of writing my psychiatrist, because I do see a psychiatrist, with the help of my mother, she just kept on encouraging me to write and do interviews. And during the time of 2018 to 2019, I was having the toughest time of my life. So, like, I was booking interviews every weekend because I wanted to cope with my depression, but me becoming a workaholic literally almost killed me mentally. And then I would just cry at night because I knew I wasn't that happy. So, and then after my grandfather passed away in 2021, I just realized that I had to stop and spend time with my family. There were times where I wasn't even like really spending time with my family because I was so focused on my craft, because that was only thing that got me out of it. I just wrote, cried, and when I wasn't on the computer writing, I would just be crying at night and praying that God would just take me. Because I didn't want to be stuck in this body, and there was a there the like I can't get into it too much, but I was no longer able to contact the love of my life anymore. At the time, he's not the love of my life anymore. I think he's not a nice person for what he did to me, but at the time, that was devastating because he was like my motivation because he had cerebral palsy and another disease. So like he would motivate me. So like after that, after I lost him, I was like, I'm done. Like even though I was published, I was in college, you know, I was just done after that. So for a while, yeah, I was sad for a while.
And how are you doing today?
Oh, much better now. Like I could tell the story and be happy about it. I mean, he inspired some of my greatest works. I Love You in a Special Way, Boy in the Screen, Crossing Borders, and you know, that's about it. But yeah, that's the one that I'm releasing now that I wrote back when we first broke up in 2018, part of my Overcoming Publishing Obstacle series, available on Amazon, of all the books that I couldn't publish in the earlier years that I did, because I was writing them through another publishing company, but then things with the contract happened, so I couldn't. But now I've been released of that situation and I'm able to release them, and I'm excited about it. So,
Yeah, that man, that is awesome. And I really thank you for being transparent, because I've never known you to not, love your disability, especially with all of your positive posts and, about it. What met in 2012? We met in 2012, right?
I think so. So you knew me way before I published Handy Capable, because at the time I had, when I met you, holy, so that means you've known me since before Stomping on CP was even my brand. It was just Tylea Flores. So you met me, right? So you had to have met me, if I'm thinking, it was the summer of 2012, and James Ticking Time Bomb was released in June of that year. So I'm thinking I must have met you, but you were on my old Facebook. That's right, because I had changed Facebooks. Man, that means you must have seen me go from Se you've seen me grow up, basically. Holy smokes, I didn't realize that. Well, thanks for being a long time stomper, I guess.
Been stopping shit. We grew up together.
We did, because I didn't even realize that. I'm like, but you never mentioned that to me in Crip Chat, but now I remember you.
Yep, I was 13. I was 13 then.
Oh my God, I was 16, so we've basically known each other since we were kids. Yeah, you've seen me go through a lot of stuff. I'm sorry, but I'm a better version of myself now, but I'm honored to be on your pod. Seriously, bro. That is wild and crazy. I didn't think of that. Yeah, because before I was an author, TyleaFlores.com had been a thing, and it was like what a teen girl talks about. And it was supposed to be me talking about cerebral palsy, but I wind up talking about, I don't know if you remember the old blogs where I would talk about my love for Blake Shelton a lot. I wasn't ready to embrace my disability. I think you commented on one of them, and like, because I was talking about how I hated going to school with my disability, and you're like, okay, I get where you're coming from, but could you be a little bit more positive? And my website, do you remember the purple and black layout that I had? Oh my God, I gotta pull that up in archives now.
Well, hey, by the grace of God, we made it to where we at.
And now we're in 2024, and it's just amazing how much we've grown together. And I'm proud of you for this podcast and this platform and all you've been able to do. And your book had me crying. The character Brandon, I was like, no, it I was like, I know he did not, but I was so proud of you.
Yeah, well, I thank you, and I'm proud of you as well. Hey,
When
Tanya.
when's the next book coming out? Like, are you gonna write another book, like with the different character? 'Cause I need a new book in my life.
This summer, you can
Awesome.
expect something this summer.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Thalia, was there anything else that you wanted to discuss today that maybe we didn't touch on? We touched on everything just now.
Yeah, you even made me go back to my childhood days, man. Thanks for making me feel old.
I'm old right along with you. I'm old right along with you. Yeah, well, and I thank you so much for coming on and having this conversation with me. I hope you have enjoyed this as much as I did. Man, we had a good time. I
Yes, please.
appreciate, oh, yep. Hey, I appreciate your insights that you provided as well. And I definitely want to be a guest on your radio show later on this year.
Yeah,
Now,
when it comes back, you'll be the first one back on. I already have a whole list of people. You're first on my list. Well, it was good seeing you, and it was good talking to your audience. And for those of you who want to follow me, you can do so at www.tyliaflores.com. My Facebook is Tylia L. Flores. My Instagram is Tylia L. Flores. My other Instagram is Stomping on Cerebral Palsy with Tylia. On the Tylia L. Flores account, you get more of my author side, and then Stomping on CP, you get more of the advocacy side, so it's double the fun. Same thing with my Facebooks. So like, if you want to follow me on my personal Facebook, it's Tylia L. Flores. And if you want to follow my support page, it is T Stomping on CP with Tylia. So.
all right, I will make sure to share everything in my description below. And once again, I'm Sean Gold. Thank you all for watching. Make sure you like, comment all your thoughts, and subscribe. And also make sure that the bell is on to be notified of each upload. And I'll see you all next time on another episode of Crippled by Culture.
Want to listen to Crippled by Culture on your favorite podcast platform? Well, now you can. Crippled by Culture is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search up the show title and make sure you subscribe. Thank you for being a listener.